Wilson had not coached at the group in years.
This is board time, Wednesday, 6 November.
That was his brother.
They're not as good as considered in the family.
But yeah, they said a lot of them, and Brian Wilson especially, but they said a lot of them.
There's attendance figures.
Oh, good.
It's always fun. He walks in looking for a budget with a gun.
All right. We'll go ahead and get started. Are we on?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and get started with board time agenda. Old business. We'll start with Mark. Risk pool proceedings.
Friday, we had the executive board meet. They went into executive session. I stayed out, came back in. The full board voted to submit the settlement documents to coverage counsel to see if there's an issue. And then the full board voted to recommend, the full executive committee voted to recommend to the full board this coming Friday to eliminate us from the
pool.
Yeah, 60 days from Friday. So it's a curative time where they're saying that our prosecutor who got us into the settlement pickle that we sort of got into, they want them to unpickle it. So
what does that mean?
Well, they didn't have authority to offer up the pool's joint document. They didn't have the authority to offer up anything that the pool had, because the pool wasn't a party to it, even though they, you know, said no. So you'd asked the question multiple times, is the pool good with this? You were told yes by the prosecutor's office. Mm-hmm. They're not, but we'll see how that all settles down.
Right, but if Bernard were here, he would make the case that from a liability point of view, what the county agreed to was better than the alternative.
We will never know. And that's
we could agree to the 5.25, but we can't agree to assigning rights that we don't have.
Right.
So let's go to trial.
Right.
And who knows where we would have ended up.
And then the second week of trial, that's the problem. Second week of trial, it's always ugly because, you know, the plaintiffs get to put on their case. So you're all, and then the third week is when we get to put on our case and temper it back down. So we never got that benefit of going fully through the case. Yes, sir.
They made a decision based on our history. Is there anything that we can do as a county at this point to get reinstated, to somehow say, okay, what do you want? How do we fix this?
Well, we haven't been kicked out yet, right?
They made the decision to kick us out in 60 days.
The executive board did.
The executive board, yeah, made the is making the recommendation up to the full board.
But the question is totally valid. So what can we do?
Well, you know, I mean, it can do, I guess, the right terms of mea culpa. Go back and say, hey, you know, what can we do here? How do we unscrew this? And mm-hmm. we won't know that actually until we get the decision to say, this is what we think you did wrong. This is how we want you to undo this. And then they'll give us 60 days to do it.
Well, Mark, weren't they,
yes, sir.
Weren't they part of recommending our decision? Weren't they invited into this because of the, or they just stood back and said, oh, we're not involved?
No, what happened was, you know, they made the first coverage decision, and that was closed and done. And that was last fall and spring. And then we went to mediation when he first gave authority, and it was thrown out there that plus we'll, you know, assign rights to our coverage from the pool. And I threw up the flag and said, can't do that. But we went in there, and when I fought it and said no, I was excluded from the second mediation. Uh-huh. And so I'm the representative to the pool,
right.
And they're like, you guys excluded your representative to the pool. And so you went and negotiated without them.
So the answer to the question of, like, what can we do, we don't know yet because we don't know what they're saying we did wrong.
Right.
You know what we did. You were the president of the pool, so what?
We exposed them because.
What is your expectation of what would be requested of us to cure?
Is to somehow remove that language from the settlement, but all those docs are already done. Nothing's.
So they're going to understand that. They'll know that, like, you can't unwind a settlement agreement without both sides agreeing to it. So they'll know that's not. That there is no opportunity to cure.
Correct.
So then what would be the?
I really think what we should go back with is once they come with a letter and say we want you to do this, that we should come back with a letter and that the letter would state that we don't honestly believe that the pool is going to be out much of any other than their own defense cost, if they have to wrestle with this Connolly firm. Because I really think it's going to be clean, that there isn't any coverage. It's going to be done. It's going to be over with. And I don't know if they accrue a couple $1,000s, we're still liable to pay that for them anyway. So what I would like for us to come back with is a letter saying, listen, no harm, no foul. You're not out anything yet.
Right.
Let's if you can give us the ability to maintain while this goes through fruition, if nothing comes out of it, no harm, no foul, we're sorry, we won't do it again. If they get spanked for $34 million or because they weren't, it can go anywhere. They weren't a party to the original settlement, so they didn't get benefit of the 10.5. They get exposed to 34. One of the difficulties is the underlying policy is written one way. The excess policies are written slightly different. They could trigger coverage in the excess policies, the top 15 million, and maybe not the bottom 10, where we reside. Mm-hmm. And so that would cost the insurance companies that we were going to have to go out for, if we're naked, in 60 days if we're naked don't have any coverage, we're going to have to go out to the same insurance companies and say, come insure us. So it's sort of a double difficulty.
So one of the things we had talked about early on was, that they may incur legal costs associated with defending themselves,
sure.
defending the pool.
Sure.
So I would expect that might be one thing that we could at least be thinking about.
Yeah.
The other thing that we should be thinking about just on our end of it is that we help them. I mean, we have been for years, we are one of the largest entities in that pool, but we've been use rate or whatever.
We've been the contributor.
Loss experience.
Yeah, our loss experience has been excellent. We've actually one of the best in the state, and they constantly are telling us that.
Yeah.
Us having a good loss experience helps their rates.
We're subsidizing other members.
Heck yeah. So every one of those other members is going to have higher rates if we're no longer part of this pool, period.
Yes.
And they are a reason why we are part of them for these type of claims.
Yeah,
sure.
And so why would they want us to a reputation of the first time you have a big claim, they throw you out.
Right.
And that's going to hurt them too. No one's going to want to be involved in them, knowing that they're going to be thrown out if they have a substantial claim along the way.
Their decision is based on one of two assumptions. One is that they want to punish us, which doesn't do anybody any good.
Right.
And you can't really act on that because that's water under the bridge. And so that's not really a valid reason. The other one is whether or not they consider us to be a continued risk. Are we going to keep doing this to them?
Mm-hmm.
Is this... And can we answer that second question?
I don't suspect that we would be.
Well,
no,
first what can we do to
them?
Answer, to take away that fear? Is there some policy that... that we or some agreement?
Well, I went back and I read the bylaws, and the bylaws don't state that it's for one big egregious issue. It comes in and says multiple issues. So that would be one of the things we'd defend on and say, wait a minute, this is a one-time, whoops, we screwed up, we got tricked into this thing, if you will, or whatever you want to call it.
So on Friday, do we have a chance to testify or make an argument before they vote, or do we wait until they vote? Issue us a letter and then fight the fight.
Well, as you know, that they would have the executive session on Friday, tomorrow. And then they would come out and have a vote. I will make sure that they know that the board knows that. And I'll send it out to the board.
Yeah, why don't we write a letter that would indicate goodwill toward them, that would indicate that we want to be a good partner, and what would be the cure? What are they trying to accomplish? Because we don't, this is not a pattern, this is not something that we, are they looking for a letter from us or something that says we're not going to do something?
Well, and I don't know that we can... because the curative thing would be to reverse that settlement and take the pool out of that settlement.
Well, in other words, what is the real choice?
There's no way.
There's no way.
What is a viable choice? That what are they asking of us?
And
I'm thinking that would be that if their meeting is You said tomorrow?
Friday.
Friday.
That it gives us an opportunity to write a letter between now and then and present that to them and help them to think, why would you do this?
Okay.
There's got to be, what are you trying to accomplish?
Okay. Yeah, before they take action, actually proactively kind of say, hey, look, we're not sure what you're trying to achieve here, but we've been good, solid members that are helping.
One of the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we can line out those reasons. Yeah. Your rates are lower because of our loss record.
Yeah,
and
that's right. Yeah, if I could address something that you said, Commissioner Madure, we enter into agreements, and there are terms in agreements, and parties agree. And there are terms in this agreement that say that we won't do certain things. And we went ahead and did one of those things that we were proscribed from doing in that agreement. So although our relationship, nothing good comes of their action to kick us out, what kicking us out does is it serves as an example to the other 26.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Here's what will happen if you violate the agreement that you entered into with us.
If they kick us out, what's the impact going to be to the other members?
It'll hurt them.
We are a big player.
It'll hurt them.
And we've been a clean player up to this
point. And those are representatives of those jurisdictions. Yeah. So they'll know that.
Those are arguments we will make in this letter.
Make those arguments. I mean, I look to you guys. I mean, I'm comfortable even saying, you know, look, we would, you know, we're, you know, if there are things that we can, you know, that are viable options to cure this, we would be happy to talk with you about it, but we should be doing it as partners, as you know, and as members of the pool.
Right. Mm-hmm. Forward looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all members of that pool to help each other.
Yeah.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
to throw a member out because of a claim, then that would make other members take a second look.
Yeah, we're next.
Well, they're looking. Yes. I mean, yeah. I can see the other side. Like, so say I'm another member, and I say, well, great, Clark County just exposed me and my rates to a potential $34 million liability that is going to raise my rates. So I've got that on one side. Then I've got Clark County as a great partner who has helped my rates be lower. I like what you said, Mark, is that they haven't, that 34 million, they haven't incurred anything.
Right.
I mean,
right.
there is no loss right now. I mean, so they're, you know, taking action on a potential outcome that we don't think is very probable anyway, so.
Should we offer to pay the legal fees for them to be
We have to by the interlocal.
Okay, then we should say.
We recognize that we'll be covering this.
Unless they lose.
Yeah.
And it really has to do with what's the future? How is the future going to be different? Because their wish is to change the past.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, we've been good, and we predict our future to be good because I think mm-hmm. we're doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, what time do they convene on Friday?
I have a look at the schedule. I'll make sure they get this letter tomorrow.
Good.
So at the beginning of it, they have a chance to circulate it among the members.
Okay. And are we authorizing Mark to sign it, or were you three like to sign it?
It should come from the board.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Sure.
Give us a chance to see it.
Yeah. Circulate it to us, and then we'll. I have.
You guys wordsmith it. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. And then we'll make sure whether we're here or not. We'll make sure signatures. Our signatures get
timely.
On it.
Timely.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for working on that. Is that all you need from me?
That is.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks.
You got Marty?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. We got Permit Center and Kennel Code.
You got Lizard, Bob.
Yeah.
The never ending story of doggies.
The doggies.
That's right. Before you came in, we decided that we're going to have a theme song, that the Who Let the Dogs Out, that'll be the theme song to start the public hearing. Exactly.
We'll do that.
Whenever we have the kennels ordinance come up, we will play that first, just to start it off. So,
where am I going to sit here?
Well, we already got a good soundtrack.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, am I here?
Wait, I'm hearing recently.
Can you play if you want?
Thanks a lot.
It's on public record, right?
Yeah, I can sit over there, Laura.
That's all right. Sense of humor is like of the folks in the
room. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it'd be kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Maybe some that weren't so thrilled with it. All right.
Okay. Yeah. On 7 August in board time, the board authorized Marty and Laura to move ahead and get construction drawings for their permit center remodel.
Yes,
they have those drawings.
Oh, sorry. Packets. Thank you.
The drawings are kind of, they're two-dimensional. They're sort of technical in nature, and so we thought it would be best to give you three-dimensional graphical representations of the space.
So these were ones that would not, like, require, you know, ripping out the roof and, you know.
We're not doing anything with this soffit.
Those structural kind of
soffit stuff. Thing.
I remember we talked about that a lot.
So let me kind of walk through these renderings. And I've got this kind of overall bird's-eye perspective.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see the first view is looking at this one wall and the reception area. Okay, there should be a number corresponding to the overview. So this is a fixed area for reception and waiting area. The on the far kind of upper side, there's kind of a gray shade. That's the soffit that we're not touching. We are going to be removing some track lighting and replace
soffit. Forgive me.
A drop down ceiling kind of thing.
Like drop panels?
Like that over there, maybe?
It's where the roof line drops down, you can run mechanicals in it.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Wiring
hard
or
ceiling
or
structure.
There's there's some lighting, track lighting,
okay.
That we're going to remove and actually reuse to another location.
All right. Thank you.
So that's the kind of from the waiting area looking at this fixed reception area.
Okay.
On the back is looking at a slightly different perspective. Again, look at the overview, kind of past the reception area and down this one part of the corridor.
Okay.
So if you look at the perspective three, it's looking from the back part of the space.
So this is a reception area up here.
Toward the back of the reception area.
So I mean kind of the workspace area.
Yes.
So this right here is if you were standing here.
Right.
And then the last perspective, number four, is...
Oh, we've got other sides.
Yes, they're double-sided.
We've got to look for all four numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Upper right-hand corner. And I'm going to please instruct you to ignore the graphic of the
permit.
It's not going to have little shaky lines. And
it's just a...
We'll get elementary kids in here.
I got those three pleases.
No. It's this, you know, how does, you know, hammer and...
Yeah.
It's
these
the
things.
Feature wall when you walk into the permit center.
But the door, you'll be facing as you go in as opposed to having it be on the side and kind of hidden.
And you'll see the permit center is going to be very pronouncedly displayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that track lighting that we have currently is going to be reused, and there'll be kind of a feature wall along the right side that's gray.
Okay,
so that's where we're at.
And that moves the front door to the permit center... To the west, away from the door to the restroom.
It's past the restroom. When you walk into the space...
You're moving it further back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So that you're not looking
right
in the restroom
right.
while you're going
right.
in front of
it. It's sideways right now, so you have to have that sign even to kind of figure out where it's at.
You kind of don't know where it's at unless you're looking for it.
Understood.
That's the restroom door right there.
So we're...
take a left.
The construction drawings are 95% complete.
Yeah.
And what we want... The next step for us is to... submit the plans to the City of Vancouver for plan review and eventually a permit to be issued. At the same time, we would invite contractors to bid on these plans, which we would get back. The construction of the project is what we would be bidding on. It's essentially doing some demolition work and then minimal new construction work. That's what would be included in the bid. There are two other elements of the project, which would be furniture moves. We would not be bidding that. Would be taking down furniture and then reusing some of it and putting in some new furniture. That's one piece. And the second piece is temporarily relocating the folks into the joint lobby. We've been working with the joint lobby staff to have permit techs who do work over the counter and accept payment. There are three stations that are open right now. We would use that space in the joint lobby. We'd also probably move some folks up to the third floor. We have all the furniture, we have all the data, the electric, so it's really a matter of moving people to new locations with their phones and their computers. And we've done this at least two or three times since I've been in the department. We've moved people among the third floor. We move people among the third and fourth floor, and we've Mark built the PA space, so we know how to move people in sequence.
So how long would they be kind of on the move?
Well, the move itself would be not more than.
No. I mean, how long would they be displaced? And, you know.
So construction's about 70 days.
So
2 months.
Okay. And the idea would be to have it done and in place by the time we get into the heat of the construction, you know, before the building season.
Yeah,
Way before.
When do you see permits ramp up? When do you see the permit center ramp up, I should say?
Well,
yeah, it seems like
the activity.
Like February, March. Yeah.
March.
Yeah. And the joint.
And you have it done well before then?
Yeah, first part of March. If we stay on schedule right now.
Got it.
Okay. We hope to have set up a new permit center location like first or second week in December. So like a month from now. But it also presumes that we have bids back. And we have a permit ready to pick up from the City of Vancouver. Now, a bid is going to be coming back to you because it's going to be a dollar amount still in the $180,000 to $220,000 range. This construction piece.
Do we take low bid on something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Okay.
So we're going to have the contractors do a walkthrough.
So what is the total cost for the project? Everything included.
The furniture cost is between 60 and 80, but we're going to be reusing some of the furniture we have, work surfaces and pedestals, but some of the new furniture we have yet to nail down. The move costs are minimal. What other element of the cost was there?
The permit and consultant fees.
Right.
Permits and consultant fees.
Yeah.
How much is that?
We'll get a read from the City of Vancouver on when we submit for the permit itself.
Yeah.
The plan review is usually 60% of the permit cost, so if the plan review is simple math, 6,000, the permit's going to be 10.
Six.
Spreadsheet or something?
Yeah, we have a spreadsheet. We didn't bring it, but we do have project
just
sheet.
You must know what the bottom line is.
But, yeah.
It was still around the 400.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the furniture package and the permit and consultant, it's between 280 and 400.
Mm-hmm. So everything all total?
Yeah.
Less than 400,000?
Yeah.
Move, consultant, furniture, construction.
And that's coming, and you have that budgeted?
Yes. The furniture is the piece that we need to nail down.
Right.
It's dependent on how much we reuse of the existing furniture we have.
Priscilla in purchasing is really good working with a consultant on reusing pieces of furniture that we've had. Anything that is pulled out of the permit center that we don't need because we need to buy new to make it fit the design, we put in the Pepsi warehouse and then we use it in the future when people have new needs. So it's not like we're going to take the furniture out of the permit center and then put it in a dumpster and take it to the landfill.
Right.
We save it and reuse it.
Right. And we've selected a carpet to go with the existing finishes, existing furniture finishes and the existing carpet. So it's a nice blend.
Yeah, and when we strip the carpet tiles out of the permit center, we will evaluate each tile and we will save the ones that are reusable because the heavy traffic areas in this building are wearing.
It's one of the cool things about
and that's a good source of new material.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the one other piece I wanted to make sure that you are aware of is this perspective doesn't carry through, but there's this back, there's a large quad space where the planners are now residing. There's a whole bunch of file space. Commissioner Medora has seen the file space. We want to move probably more than half of that file space where we'll only have maybe two or three rows. The other, we want to build a pod where we can bring in a multidisciplinary team from my shop and Public Works Engineering and Environmental Services. If we need a space to review a complex project, we have a conference room, but if that's in use and we need workspace for a pod of multidisciplinary professions, that would be a space that they would go to. So from the original, we have expanded the scope a bit, and I want to do that because I don't want to come to you in 2 years and say, you know, we should have been thinking about some growing space. We should have been thinking about some elbow room. So that's been a slight change in scope, and it would mean some additional furniture and carpet, and that's kind of that. That's why the range is not 20,000, it's 120,000.
So you're including that,
yes,
in the 400K top end.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Does the plan, do these plans include that? I mean, you got money that includes that. What about the...
Yes.
I don't see
any
here.
The construction drawings include those.
Yes.
And then, Commissioner Madore, you were concerned about these ceiling fixtures. What they're doing is, this is a fundamental part of the package, because this we want to build regardless, because we want people to orient to that's
the reception area.
This ceiling treatment and this are options that will be part of the bid, and we'll see what it costs, and you know, we can bring it to the board, and you can say that's not worth it to do that, and we just won't do those pieces of the project.
They'll be bid separately.
Yeah, yeah,
separate
line
items.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I want to do this once in the next 10 or 15 years. We've been in this building 11 years, so.
Okay. And does this accommodate if we grow? Does this accommodate the staff? Does it integrate whatever other staff you may have in other places and other floors?
Yes.
Does it integrate your team as efficiently as you want them to be?
Yes. And that's that space that we've added to the scope of work, is to bring in more than a single discipline and a single department. We would have public works and environmental services. So we'd have, in the Kitsap County model, which I've seen, they have a pod where up to four staff from a variety of disciplines work out plans. Good. So that's the space that I really want. It's a premium space.
Cool.
That's what our plan is.
Okay. And how's your budget? Comes from, you have a capital portion of your budget, or is this comes out of just one budget that you have?
It comes out of, so I have Fund 1011, which is building development money. Mm-hmm. And there's some money in there from admin, building, and land use that I can tap to make this happen, and I'd have actually more budget than I need for this particular project.
So you can use that budget either for staff or for construction?
I can use it they're not in the staffing line items. I'd have to move those monies because they're in kind of like contingency funds.
Short answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And we've talked to Bob Stevens about this.
Is Bob good with it? Did he go over the numbers with you? Because I assume that any major construction or major project that you run it by the budget office, and they, in fact, I'd love to see Bob here and say, yep, here's the numbers, and I'm good with it.
So I think we're looking for the bid number.
Yes.
To firm it up.
Before you go to bid, it's hopefully you can guess it properly, but really, that's kind of late. You're kind of committed at that point. I would think the budget office would run things through first and say, yeah, those are realistic, and yeah, we've got enough margin left over, and
you guys do that with Bob?
Mm-hmm.
So Bob is good with this?
Yeah.
To my understanding, yes.
Well, should we call him and have him come? I'd love to be able to make sure the budget office buys in. It just says I love how they're conservative, and the finance team is all on the same page. I love that. That's good.
You guys have verified that we have $400,000 to do that.
Well,
that there's margin, and that basically that there's that, you know, the funds are appropriate, and that there's enough in there.
Time
is essential here. If we're going to have this open by March,
agreed. Agreed. I think, and it sounds like Bob's already. It sounds like budget team's already looked at this. Hopefully, they haven't. It shouldn't be a problem at all. We just, you know, the question then gets answered, though.
Yeah, it's not a question of should we delay it. It's really a question: have we done our homework, and is our team on board on this? And if they're on board, I'm on board.
Cool. Good. I think he's getting a hold of him right now.
Great.
It won't take him that. I was going to say we dive into kennels, but that'll take longer than by the time we can get Bob.
Dive into kennels.
who's driving the kennel thing? What's going on?
I'm going to drive the kennel.
Oh, is this the kennel code that we're talking about?
Yeah,
changing?
The kennel code, yeah.
I have some two things I want to run by the board so that you're fully prepared for the hearing of the 26th. So.
Yeah, just a couple of changes.
We know she's going to be here.
I know, no matter what. I know.
No, it's just, you know, I have a follow-up and a question with a follow-up.
Hey, Bob.
What's your Bob?
What's Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Have a seat, buddy.
Oh, have a seat. Head of the table.
He thought this was going to be a 20-second deal.
Since you're paying for that.
It should be a relatively quick thing, but we just want to check in with you. Commissioner Medore, go ahead.
Yeah. Anytime we have any I wouldn't say really major, but not a major project, it's a good idea to make sure that our finance team, including Budget Bob, that you guys are on board, that you're blessed, and I just want to make sure, I think we want to make sure that that's the case, or are you good with this? Do you feel like you want to do a little, have some conversation first and then come back?
Well, from the point of view of the finance team, the only thing that we would really be concerned of is can the fund afford it?
Right.
The finance team wouldn't ever look at this in terms of is this a good thing to do?
Yeah,
not.
We
know.
But certainly right now, the Fund 1011 is in better shape than it's been in a long time.
Okay.
And we're actually, as I told you this morning, the finance team, we're going to go back and revisit the cost allocation of the Tidemark project because we think that 1011 is in better shape to pay a more appropriate share than general fund is.
So can 1011 handle this project and handle taking on a greater share of Tidemark?
Under the current circumstances, yes, financially.
Good. The Tidemark update is hugely important. So.
Right. But at last look, I think fund balance in 1011 is getting close to $6 million.
Oh, wow.
That's why I've asked for more people, too. So that's going to cost a million.
That's great.
Well, have you asked for more people?
Yes.
Yes.
He
has.
Yes.
That was the $820,000 you saw this morning.
Yeah.
So this morning when I reported to you that
nine
the...
decisions.
That was a $4 million in other funds, right?
Well, no, there was a special line for building fund, and it was $800,000.
Oh, yeah.
I just haven't seen any... What do you call it? Vacancy requests? Or
yeah, talk about
they don't exist. There is no vacancy.
Yeah, they got to create the position.
Well,
and
right.
If you approve,
so you're not waiting on us. We're waiting on you.
No,
I'm waiting on
budget.
You.
We're waiting
we'll
on
we'll
the
do it in the budget.
You have to approve the budget,
yeah,
then you can go higher.
Yes,
and he won't
well,
have
we'll talk to
ask,
budget Bob then. On that.
And he won't have to come ask. He won't need permission to fill the vacancies because when you approve them in the budget, that's the approval to fill them.
Is that right?
Now, if he fills them,
yes, that's
if he
right.
fills them, and then the person leaves, then we have to come back. Now we have a vacancy.
Aha!
So,
see, I'm getting some
movie that graphic.
Well, could you tag those? Mm-hmm. Could you, you know, just like put a little tag in our budget book or something
okay.
for those
they're,
lines, please?
They're the only the applications are the only budget packages in there under community development.
Okay, so bottom line.
But we can tag your book.
The extra people to staff your team so that we can focus on making our customers successful, and the construction, and the Tidemark extra, all that, you're good. That passes the budget Bob test.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
excellent.
You believe it'll be
it's a great package for improvements to actually improve customer service. That's excellent.
What's even more amazing is that the revenue's improving in spite of the fee holiday.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's got to be residential.
It is, yeah. For now.
Well, there's some
but we'll work on it.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Sounds
okay.
like you got the green light to go
good.
To bid and
good.
Get your permit.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Come back.
Don't you just love it when government works?
I love it when we get it. Yes.
You want us to go on? We could go
thanks
on.
Thanks for bringing us
that. Yeah, hey.
It's like that Google commercial. Is there anything wrong? No.
But
we just all...
I know.
So
we'll all get to go
no
watch
no one asked me.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice.
Oh, yeah.
I bet it will.
That's going to be great.
I'm going to go down there and eat lunch. No, just kidding.
And now for something completely different.
Now for something completely different. Exactly.
Okay. Kennel code is coming back to you, and the first piece that I wanted to follow up on was the section 3, which the board, I'm going to pass this out, okay, so you guys can kind of track this. I want you, please, to turn to page 3. Okay, and it's about midway through the page, and it's number 3. And the title of this is Commercial Kennels in the Urban Area.
Mm-hmm.
The following standards and provisions shall apply to commercial kennels in the C3, GC, ML, MH, and BP zoning districts.
Mm-hmm.
You all said get rid of this. Well, you really wanted to get rid of G, which is the residency requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ignore the yellow for the time being.
Okay.
So this section 3 is, if you look at the zoning code, and a commercial kennel is labeled as C in a certain zone, that means it's a conditional use permit. And that the conditions and standards imposed for that commercial kennel in a commercial zone would be done so by the hearings examiner. Okay? If it's a P, that means it's a permitted use, and these standards would apply. So if you delete Section 3, you're deleting the standards by which a kennel, a commercial kennel, would be a permitted use in a commercial zone. So you don't, I don't think you want to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's the first thing I wanted to... As
well, we asked you to do the research on. Thank you.
Okay, so that's the first thing.
Good.
The second thing is maybe it's a question, and it's a follow-up, where we had earlier asked you to consider on page 2 of this document and page 3 some additional provisions regarding noise, okay? So we have clearly the WAC standards that you want to adopt, mm-hmm. letter E, mm-hmm. and then the standards of residential is 55 decibels up until 10 p.m., after which time it drops down 10 dBs. Mm-hmm. Then there are other duration standards of 5 dBs for 15 minutes over an hour, 10 over 5 minutes in any 1 hour, 15 for a minute and a half in any 1 hour. Those are WAC standards, and we will bring these are before you.
Hold on, Mark.
Okay.
I see item 2.
Yes.
We still have the same type.
This is an old version, so the new version has the correct information.
Didn't you want to share the new version with us?
I should have brought it with, but I had to use this one because it had this additional language.
Okay.
Okay. So that the correct WAC citation mm-hmm. will be in the final resolution. Okay. What I failed to mention a few weeks ago, and it's an outcome question and an equity question. This language that you see under 8.11.060 is directly from Title 8 of our code, which is the Animals Code. And you'll see that in this 060 section, that under number 1, that barking, yelping, other things taken to be continuous noise for a period of 10 or more minutes or intermittent for a period of 30 is what's called a public nuisance. And you follow this through, it exempts livestock and such sounds made in facilities licensed under and in compliance with the provisions of this title, which means a commercial kennel are exempt from this provision. Now, the scenario that I'll kind of play out is the Becks and Yuri. Okay, if I move in next door to the Becks on a 5-acre piece, and I have 8 dogs, I'm not a commercial kennel because I'm not 10 or more. But if my 8 dogs make a bunch of noise, I get cited under this provision. But a commercial kennel, because we exempt it, doesn't get cited. So it's an equity issue.
It might get cited if the decibel levels exceed 55,
right.
or 45.
Right.
By 5 dBA for a total of 15 minutes in any 1 hour period, or 10 dBAs for a total of 5 minutes in any 1 hour period, or 15 for a total of 1.5 minutes in any 1 hour period. So they could still get cited.
Yes.
And they would be cited based on numerics versus whether it annoyed somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is what we moved away from, because this has the unreasonable. Right. What's the number?
Exactly.
So this is the old, and we're near, not suggesting
there's a discrepancy.
There's a discrepancy is all I wanted
right.
to
have. This is the difference is commercial and non-commercial.
Yeah.
So this would be non-commercial.
Correct. And so for non-commercial, it still has kind of the old way of thinking of, well, if it annoys or disturbs, then we'll just kind of figure out is it reasonable or not, but there's no real number behind it. For commercial, there would be a number, but... So I guess the question would be: Do we make it internally consistent by giving, going back to the kind of more subjective language, for commercial kennels, or do we put the more objective numeric kind of levels in the nuisance?
We are not having a problem with this. So what are we trying to fix? So if we don't have a problem with this, we probably should leave it alone.
Leave it alone for now?
Until we have a problem. And then go with our new.
In other words, stay on target, stay focused. This is the target code.
That's what we're looking at.
And after we get that done, then you consider moving into other territories.
So we recognize that there may be an inconsistency based on whether it's commercial or non-commercial. We also recognize that the impacts of commercial tend to be greater than non-commercial, and that we haven't had problems with the non-commercial. If we have those in the future, we will have a standard to apply, and we'll be able to see if it's working or not.
Have you seen the new meters?
Yeah.
They have an area there where it's unreasonable.
Really cool. Yeah, exactly.
Is it really?
No.
And no, they don't.
I
thought he was going to say
yeah, he had his fillet knife out. You were in the boat.
I got a new product under development.
Yeah, exactly. So I just
wanted to bring this to your attention because I had heard your concerns about, you know, we're allowing this in residential areas, and we have a standard by which it's inconsistent with what we're looking at.
Well, it isn't though, because under nuisance law, under just general nuisance law, because I remember going through this, we don't have the authority to go below the WAC. So the WAC is the baseline, even for this one that has this kind of additional language in it. Like, the baseline is still the WAC, right? Because we can't go below that legally.
No, that's correct.
So we still have a standard that is consistent. It's just we have this additional layer for the non-commercial, and if we end up having a problem with it, we'll deal with it.
And I think we have that.
We have to have something to do, man. I mean, you know.
It wouldn't be the same if I didn't revisit a kennel ordinance every year.
Exactly. But it's a good heads up. It's definitely a good heads up.
Just a point here. So the yellow in the kennel...
Yeah,
is that what we're proposing?
No, that's what we had earlier considered.
Right, he just wanted to show us.
Oh, so the yellow is going away.
There. Yes. Yeah.
And all we're doing is copying in verbatim.
Exactly. Yes.
The WAC
standard.
Verbatim.
This is the old one. He just wanted to show us what they had proposed before and how it's consistent with what we have in this other area.
Got it.
Cool. This is just that narrow area of noise.
Right on. All right, Marty, is that all you needed from us?
Okay.
Good to go.
No more kennel talk.
No more kennel talks. I'll just recycle it. All right, so that's all we had from Marty. Thank you, sir.
Talking about a patio cover.
I bet you do.
Did you get a patio cover?
Indeed, yeah.
I'm getting a patio cover.
Oh, okay. We made them simpler.
Yeah. Okay.
Apparently not how big the patio cover is.
I can't promise you that.
Are you going to be presenting a report here coming up pretty soon about the fee waivers?
Something's going to be coming out probably by the end of the week. Can I take a minute?
Something with what? I'm sorry.
Fee waiver.
Just like a report on what's going on, how we're doing?
Can I take a minute?
Yeah.
Because I just had a conversation. Okay. We've always reported, what have we waived, what have we waived, what have we waived. We've also reported the jobs by the applicant's admission, and then their estimate of sales tax.
Right.
Sales revenue, I should say. So we're adding on the benefit side. Now, I just met with Susan Ellinger, and she was going to be meeting with Marlia. I've got to try to figure out how frequently we report this stuff, okay, because... There are one times, okay? Construction sales tax is going to be one time, okay? The first, going from unimproved value of land to the improved value of land, that one-time property tax bump is going to be a one-time. And then you'll have ongoing sales tax revenue and ongoing property tax revenue, okay?
Okay.
We won't get the full assessed valuation from between 6 and however many, 18 months. So we've got to work with the assessor on, if we report to you the ongoing and nothing shows up, because that data isn't available, how frequently do I report to you? Monthly, quarterly?
We get quarterly sales tax data, right?
So the benefit side is the tricky part, because it comes in either in lumps or comes in over...
It's delayed, but we get quarterly sales tax reports from the state. So I mean, even though there's a lag on it, it seems like we might be able to get quarterly information that might be helpful.
And we still have their estimated revenue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we could use.
That's what we've been using. He's just looking to like supplement that with
something more,
more real.
Yeah.
Right now it's kind of separate. The finance team already gives us a quarterly report.
Yes.
And on that quarterly report, it kind of has a cursory thing about permits and building. Sure. I would think that would be the appropriate place and time to actually present the specifics there.
I like that.
A quarterly?
In other words, take what's really kind of general there and
try to
include. Yep.
No, okay. That's a good idea.
So see the benefits, because we're talking about jobs and unemployment and moving
estimated
us right, and exactly what we can do in order to move us in the right direction.
Future. Yeah.
So you can work with.
I can work with Mark, and I'll work with, because I think quarterly is a better time frame.
Because
we'll have more accurate information, and we will have more complete information.
Yeah. Being that we just had a finance report, it would be good to be able to have what it just provide us with what you would have presented if we had already done this just, 2 weeks ago or so?
Yeah.
I'll work with Mark on that, and when he has the... Did you just have the second quarterly report? Or third?
Third, I think.
So when we get to the fourth quarter quarterly report, I'll tie in with him. How about that?
It was in the third.
Okay.
We'll do that?
Yeah, and I would assume you had a bunch of zeros because you didn't start early on collecting all the information.
From June 12th to July 1st, we didn't get some of that data.
So
we have to make phone calls.
So you're getting it all now,
right? Yeah, we have to make phone calls back, but that's sometimes tricky because you get a hold of people like, that was however many months ago.
And you're going to differentiate between the old and the new.
It'll be a new tab.
Great.
We're going to have a tab. New program, old program.
Great. Cool. Thank you.
Sounds good. Okay. Thanks, Marty.
Yeah, it's coming together.
So just as a summary, how's it doing? Is it working like we hoped it would work?
You know, I haven't seen the October one because it's like 13 pages long. So when I look at it,
is that good?
I'll give you, I think so.
Good.
Yeah. We issued a lot of permits in October. So
business permits?
Yes. These are all non-residential.
Oh, that's great.
So I'll look at the data and give
jobs
you a kind of a heads up.
So
the last report was 452 jobs.
Wow.
$58 million in calculated valuation.
Great.
And like $12 million in annual sales revenue.
Is that from both or just the latest one or what?
That was from the September report.
Okay. So it's both.
One of the projects, and you're familiar with the quarry out on the east side. Okay, that's full-on assisted living. So you've got like this one application has like 35 employees because you got, I think they're spending like $17 million.
Yeah,
that's what they. That's
it's
what
a
they
nice investment. I mean, it's a nice place.
Is that like kitchen staff and
nursing staff,
medical care,
physical therapy,
lawn care.
So in specifically, we're excluding senior housing
that has no.
Right. But if it's assisted living where you have medical staff and that kind of thing, those are the kind of jobs you want to be able to have that pays well. And
correct.
Yeah, those are healthcare professionals. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's right. So we all made
There were two projects in the Salmon Creek area like that.
Yeah.
The Bonaventure and the Hamptons.
Yep. Yeah, a couple of good ones.
So you'll see a report probably by the end of the week.
Good.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thanks, Marty.
Yep. All right.
Hey, thank you, Marty.
So Mark, before
we
jump into...
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to skip yours, the liquor license process, and come back to it because you called... So we have Oliver and Chris Cookley.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
So we can get them back to work. Yeah. Let's jump ahead to them and then come back to the liquor license process, which was actually Jennifer's request of us, is to figure it out. Because our process, we've done the same thing for a long time. And she was just wondering, like, do you want to change it up a little bit?
Yeah, she had a good point.
Yeah. What's up, you two? We got one.
Yeah. Or two over there.
Or we got two over there. Either way. Thanks, Anna. All right, so 2016 growth plan update kickoff. Oliver?
Yes, commissioners. Thank you for inviting me. What I would like to do, I have three requests. I'll start with the first one. The first one, I think you have a copy of the draft.
Yeah, I put it on a little memo yesterday and gave each of you.
I don't have it with me, I'm sorry.
Yep, I got it.
Overachiever.
I'll show you. I have Anna. I have the magic Anna factor.
Overachiever. Yep.
Good. Wait a minute. I have several here.
You can bust it out.
Okay, there we go.
So these are the three things: public participation plan, population projection, and scope of work. Or what are the three things
yes.
you need?
To approve that we issued a press release, and that the board, upon reviewing the issue paper number two, which I think you have a copy of, if you don't, I'll provide that, and also reviewing the public participation. Scoping schedule. If you approve that, then I will ask that we issue the press release. If you like a work session, we'll do a work session. If you don't, I would prefer that you have a hearing and have the cities and other stakeholders participate in your selection of the population for the growth plan update.
Are there any consultants involved? Are there any expenses involved in this process?
At this time, there are no consultants involved. That would depend.
When we've done a full EIS, like last time when we did the EIS, which was JPIC, we had a consultant help with the preparation of the documents to kind of paper trail it. But that was later. That was later in the process.
That was later in the process.
And the population information comes from OFM, right?
It comes from the state.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's their job.
Yeah.
So in the issue paper, I think I did just provide you with background, and I'm recommending that you pick the OFM medium number, which is much lower than our current population for the 07, but there is a reason why I'm asking the board. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. That's the medium number that OFM...
What page is that?
That's on page 2 of the issue paper.
No, but you also were asking to kind of include the jurisdictions within that, you know, kind of get them to buy in with it as well as part of the early and continuous public participation that's required.
That's the wrong one there,
yes.
David.
Is that not it?
No.
And also the consultation with the cities is required too. So there are lots of.
So would that help us with our consultation requirements?
Absolutely.
With the cities?
Absolutely.
You bet.
What, page 2 of that?
Yeah.
I had two. So pick which here?
Oh, you're looking at the wrong one, Commissioner.
I'm good at that. Yeah.
Issue paper number 2.
Oh.
One is a public participation program.
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Right. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Both blue headers, and yeah, they both look the same.
No, so, I can't miss that one. Bright, bold, red.
But so this would be something that we would talk through with our jurisdictional partners, and so... Mm-hmm.
That's my... Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So you can do it in... I don't think the work session will be a good format to do it. You might do it in a hearing. They will be able to testify. So that's what I'm asking for, either work session, but I don't think a work session will give them that opportunity to tell you what they think. They may consult their council and then come to...
So you're asking us for something today? What are you asking for?
To issue the press release, and upon reviewing this, we set up a hearing for the board to consider picking a population number for the growth plan.
So we have one action, pick a number. Which is the big bold red one, we assume.
Yes,
so far.
And also direct staff that we issue this press release through.
Because it kind of starts the ball.
Mm-hmm. Alerts the public of what we're about to do.
And there's things that follow this. So we pick the number. What do we trigger?
When you pick the number, that becomes the driver. That's when we will then fully engage the smaller jurisdictions to allocate that population number and see how that fares out. And in doing so, that will be the driver for the employment number that we will be planning for.
And there's some assumptions there that need to be defined, like what's the ratio of this to that, and where do we how do we define those, and where's the time frame, and how do we participate in a knowledgeable way.
The board can ask staff. The current plan is based on 1-to-1 ratio in terms of population to job. That's really very aggressive. You can maintain that if the board so choose. it will be up to Rots and the cities then to determine whether we have sufficient land to accommodate that number, whatever that is, or whether we need to expand the boundary just for jobs.
Okay. So probably the simplest thing for us to do is just let it go on autopilot and just to make and just go with whatever assumptions are already there.
Yes.
But when was the last time we did this?
In 07.
So we before the 2008 world changer. So it would be a good idea for us to re-examine our basic assumptions and the parameters that were dialed in before the recession, right?
That's one option. I think in the first issue paper that I provided the board, I lay out all the assumptions that went into the comp plan as a background information.
In other words, we should read what you have here, do our homework, and I because I haven't gone through this before, okay, I'll spend time with you to become a good student here so that when I get to participate in this, I'll be able to do so in a way that I can contribute because I've done my homework and in a knowledgeable way.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So you and I, we're friends.
Yes. I do smile.
we can definitely, I mean, and we'll feed a lot of that into what the cities are doing and kind
of,
yeah.
And the city will be able to tell you what they are desired and what they would
exactly
like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, one final thing for me. It's not on your agenda, but I would like to update the board quickly that the rural census letter is our goal to see if we can send it out on Friday.
Right.
Good. Where we fell on Friday, because Monday is a holiday, we'll shoot for Tuesday.
Okay. Wait, next Monday is a holiday.
Yeah, Veterans Day.
Veterans Day is next Monday.
Yes.
Got it.
How can you forget that?
I'm sorry.
Jeez,
yeah, I know. I thought it was 2 weeks, but yeah. Time flies.
You get credit.
Yeah. All right. So
do I get a head nod from the board?
That's why I didn't know about
approval to release this.
Yeah. Is there any reason why?
Absolutely.
You
No.
Well, you might want to like monkey with the text or something. I don't know.
Why you gotta say that, man?
Don't give him any ideas.
He's not going to.
You're offering?
No, I just jab him. That's all.
I'm
working on this guy over here to say. To stop saying, does anybody else have anything else to say?
The trick is
my shin's getting sore.
Finish that sentence with hearing none.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. Hearing none.
Yeah, the gap's about 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right.
We will issue the press release. I urge the board to look at these two documents. One is the issue papers. The second is the public participation program. I would like the board, after your hearing, whichever way you go, I would like the board to adopt this in some form of a resolution.
We will do our homework. I'm a big fan of one. Give me one direction at a time. Tell me to go right, mm-hmm, and I'll go right. Don't tell me the next direction until I make that first one.
One step at a time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A hearing to adopt or direct the direct staff on population number to work with. And two, you can do it at that same hearing, adopt a population, a public participation program.
Okay. Thanks, Oliver.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is that all Chris and you need from us?
That's
excellent.
All
right.
So I want to make sure we understand.
Yeah.
So basically, we gave you one direction or one decision. The mm-hmm only question you asked of us, is it okay to send out that press release?
Two, actually. Yep. And then we set the hearing, right?
Yeah.
So we set the hearing for population
and
number.
And the hearing is sometime when?
Yet to be scheduled.
Medium population.
It has to be scheduled. I would like to do that at least before the end of the year, if I can.
All right. I'm assuming that the hearing is to consider more than just simply a little number. A big number. But it also will assume that there's a process that we're setting in motion and that there are issues and assumptions to be up to speed on, and that it's not just simply assumed that it's just automatic, because between now and then I want to make sure that I'm up to speed before we say there's the agenda and that's what we propose. I want to make sure that I'm up to speed. So,
and it won't. It is a stepwise process, though. We will set a number in conjunction with our city partners and our other, you know, and just staff. And we will set into motion a public participation plan. And as part of that, that'll be the, like, then you start getting the ball rolling for the other assumptions. And that's when we really get into the meat of it.
Anything that's subjective, anything that's a parameter that needs to be dialed in,
right,
or any assumption that we're basing this whole foundation on, is that's what I want to make sure I'm up to speed, that we do our homework.
Yes, we'll do that. Now that I'm I'm up, I'm leaving.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Now we'll move back to liquor license process.
Okay, Commissioner Stewart, I think you asked that this be put on the agenda.
I did.
As I understand it, what happens is that the Liquor Control Board will send us a notice if somebody's applied for a license. And then Jennifer staffs it to the appropriate agencies, the sheriff and others. And then they come back to Jennifer, and I think she has 20 days to do all this, and they voice concern if they have it, and if not, they give a thumbs up, no objections, no concerns. I think the question in the pro, and then Jennifer launches it to the state, because typically if we have an objection, it doesn't influence their decision because they have their own criteria upon which to base a decision.
And then we get something in our information packets, our yellow packets, on liquor license applications, but that comes after Jennifer's already sent something off to the state.
Correct. And what I suggested to Jennifer was that you ought to see them before they go to the state.
Right.
And if you have objections, all three of you, and they're serious enough that we could maybe write a letter or something to the Liquor Control Board,
right,
or whatever you would choose to do.
Which made good sense to me, as far as at least like in the process, we should see it and be able to make comments before it goes off to
right.
the, just like any other department.
Sure.
Would.
Yeah. You want to evaluate the concern the sheriff might have, too close to a school or what have you. Mm-hmm. So we can implement that change.
There's just, and the only question that will happen that we'll have to work on ourselves is that there's a timeliness associated with that, because we have 20 days total.
Correct.
I think.
Yeah, and she gives the staff agencies 5 working days, which is a calendar week.
Right.
So that's 7 of the 13. So what Jennifer will do is email you the packet and then ask for an electronic response, so that we can meet the deadline to the LCB.
Or so email it to us instead of give us the hard copy?
If you want both, we can give you both. But
I like the hard copy.
Okay.
Email's good for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
How do you sign off?
Just send an email back. Not to everybody. Not to all. We just email
say good to go, no concerns.
Good, just like our signature. We'd say it that way. Either way, it's fine.
If you want paper, I'll be
but the you. Difference is we won't have one packet circulating to
correct.
All three of us, which takes a longer time.
Correct.
So
simultaneous process.
So whether it's paper or email. Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure you use that at US Digital, right?
Still lose email.
What's
that? Simultaneous process. Use that at US Digital.
A lot more response.
You get so much done in parallel.
That's right. Yeah,
I got to tell you about Letterkenny Army Depot sometimes.
There's always another
more complicated
later. We did that sort of thing with Howard Service.
Same on me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, well. All right.
That's it, sir.
Okay. So, all right, we're on commissioner reports.
Oh, by the way, I'm going tonight to the distillery neighborhood.
Good
and
for you.
I've already talked to
the legal. The one that was most recently.
Yeah, where all the emails came in.
Yeah, okay.
And I've already talked to legal and to confirm my understanding that even though it's a state-issued license, that if it becomes to impair or negatively affect the neighborhood, we can step in and prevent it from going forward.
Now, and the understanding that we have had is that the application that people are all fired up about may have started larger, but what it is now is that people are going to be processing fruit into alcohol. They're not going to be...
And maybe corn.
And corn, but they're not going to be having tasting room or events or any of that stuff.
It's called a craft distillery. Surprisingly, part of that requirement is that they get their product from the state of Washington, which I thought was... The guy's retired, is what he's always wanted to do. He has no intention of going out there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And amongst the first misapplication and the refiling of application... Everybody predicted this guy would fall and all things would happen. And
they're saying it's a bait and switch, and then he's going to start having events. But wouldn't he have to go through another
truck coming through the neighborhood?
Yeah. But wouldn't he have to go through another process if he wanted to start having tasting room and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely, it'd be another application. Mm-hmm. Along with the fact is, we're there as Trump for the zoning of it.
Right.
Or the influence, or whether or not we come back and say, oh, wait a minute, you are in a home business.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for going out there and doing that, man. Appreciate it. Did you have anything else going on?
Just tonight, that's it.
Cool. Commissioner Medor?
I'm good.
Tomorrow and...
Oh, yeah, good.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Too late.
do-overs. I thought we were so far. So, one thing came to my attention, and that is, so many times we find that the court works independent from us in so many different things, and kind of got in, and heard some of that today. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that came up through public request that we it came to my attention that the court over there keeps some of their own personnel records, and that should be in our HR.
Do they have their own HR?
Sheriff does. I don't think they have the court does.
Like a half HR. They have some information there and some here, and so I just thought we should look into that to see what and why. So for example, if there was a reprimand type thing, they'd hold it over there and not have it here. So when we want to go do research, we go here, and we don't get the whole picture of the employee.
Okay. Well, we can check into it and see like why they have the what the reasoning is for them having the HR policy.
The reason why we have an HR.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's been that way for years, right?
I assume so.
Well, they're separately elected, and they're, in Superior Court, they're like extensions of the state, right?
Yes.
So our influence over them is not as thorough as it is over our own departments.
It's
minimal.
Well, it is. We talked about some of that today, didn't we?
Sure, we did.
So when we fund something to have information in one location, that's what we expect.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Two things for me. One is next week I was going to put it on our board time agenda, but want to make sure it was okay to go through next steps from advisory votes. Because by then, by next week, we should know kind of final-ish results from it. And then we can figure out, like, because we have resolutions that go along with all of our advisory votes, right? Well, for five of them. And then we have an action requested on the sixth, on the fireworks one. And so seems like by next week we'll have a better sense of it. We can figure out, all right, now, what are our next steps?
Final two.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
so,
my fault.
Yeah, exactly. So that we'll deal with that next week. Tomorrow and Friday, there's an LSI, which is, Law Studies International. I forget what it is. The Law Seminars International has a land use and growth management seminar that I actually helped out at when they were in Vancouver, and I did a couple of presentations for them on local government and land use and kind of our practices and what we do up in Seattle. So I'm going to be hopefully gathering a bunch of information on the latest and greatest cases and methods, especially as we're getting into our 2016 plan. I'm hoping to be able to bring back potential pitfalls that people are seeing and potential opportunities for what we might do, and I'll bring as much information back as I can for you guys.
Great.
I'll be up there doing that.
Must be statewide.
It is. They bounce it around the state, and this one's in Seattle.
Being that the state legislature is going to have a special session on transportation priorities budget, right? That's one of those things.
It's one of the five.
It's supposed to be Boeing.
Yeah, it's Boeing. It's all about Boeing, right?
Anytime they open it up, everything's viable.
Yeah.
There is a list of priorities that you had gone over. Where is that list? We should put it on the grid.
Are you talking about our
which priorities? I'm sorry.
Of transportation projects.
I had mentioned one that legislators had talked through. So there's a transportation priorities.
You had communicated that you had checked with us and said, does that sound good? And you'd walk through like the
179th
Street. Gotcha. Yes, we have information on
where? Can we put it on the grid?
I don't know. I would ask is Axel, because I think he has the information, because I took hard copies, and he's out trying to kill something. But
oh my goodness, I got to tell you.
Well, is there an email? Is there a list? Do you know where we can get that somewhere?
No, I don't.
Okay,
no.
So
no,
when he gets back and he brings his dead animal with us, let's find out what that list was.
Axel said he would call in too, because there's got to be other copies of it as far as the. You know, because the list was, you know, that's kind of the short list of, yeah, 179th and 502, 503, and SR14, and...
They're all on the, on our MTIP, are they, I mean, our the, TIP program,
are they
all
on
the RTC list?
They are all on the RTC list.
We're looking for a priority list.
Exactly, but that's the RTC list this big, yeah, and as far as priority, tighter priority lists, I'll look around,
Right. Touch base with Pete.
Well, he has some of that.
I meet with him tomorrow.
Yeah, because we definitely, I mean, and we talked to Ed, Representative Orcutt, after the meeting yesterday afternoon, and he was definitely saying, yeah, he wanted to talk to Don Wagner. He was going to talk to him about, like, what are the projects that we could be prioritizing in a revenue package to make sure that we get money coming back here that's raised here so that we're not donated at all elsewhere if they are going to do a revenue package. So he was interested in it as well. So we can definitely work on that. I'll look around and see what I can find.
All that money was going to the CRC is labeled TBA. It's under 9.5 cent gas tax.
Well, and that's the thing is, that's what we want. Somehow for them to to identify that this is our money. This is Southwest Washington. This is local and regional priorities that it will go for, and not to fund another project in Seattle.
Well, I wonder when they look at how much money we generated and sent to the state for our gas taxes, and how much money they say, well, and this is what you got for the projects. I wonder if they, well, you spent all your money, $170 million. And I thought, well, wait a minute, we didn't get anything for that.
No.
I hope they're not counting that.
Well, and that was from previous, that was from Nickel and Partnerships. So those are already, those are old packages. So, and we got underfunded in those because in those packages, we didn't have a mega project ready to go. And so the mega projects that got funded in the Nickel and Partnership were all Puget Sound projects, because north-south for Spokane wasn't ready either. Nope. And so the commitment that they had made was, well, in this next package, the two things that we will do is, the first thing is that we will do a better job for local share, because that's the other thing they didn't do in the first two packages. They didn't give us really anything. They gave us this much to actually deal with local and regional priorities. And the second thing is, they said, we'll get outside the Puget Sound. You know, we'll actually do some things for other areas.
I'm curious what bucket this came out of.
If they're going to the 9.5 cent funded a lot of it,
and it was only labeled as TBA.
Could, if we didn't have that, would that have been money that we could have spent on actual road improvements here?
Sure.
I think it was probably set aside and masked as an acronym, so you couldn't see what you were spending.
Right, but if it hadn't been spent on that, then it could have been spent on other transportation projects. I mean, every dollar you spend on a transportation project could be used as on a different transportation project.
I sure like to have real construction rather than these quote studies.
I would love to as well, but that's the good news, that we have the studies all done for the replacement, and everybody wants it. So now we just got to get
Wait a minute, not the one I saw.
No, all right, that's next week. That's where. But we can make a toll-free version out of this, man. We'll get that. We got the $170 million for it.
I'll look forward to that leadership.
All right, that's next week.
Okay.
Sneak preview. All right, I have nothing else.
I just have three short things. Just a reminder, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, I'm up north with my dad.
Yeah.
And then the issue with the online checkbook, we've had staff from the department that had the concern. They've done some testing. They are convinced that it's it meets their needs, and so we're going to place that
back on.
We're going to place. I don't know if it's back on. I emailed my staff during this meeting. I haven't heard back yet.
But the bug has been fixed.
Yeah, but before this afternoon, before we go home tonight, it should be back online.
Great.
And the last thing is that Kel put together this nice little sheet. This is the freeholder result
as of
last night.
Got it.
He'll revise this when they put out an update.
Yeah, 3:30 it's scheduled today.
Yeah, the red are elected officials.
Gotcha.
And up top, it's by district and position.
I like this because it tells me when you have the
down
blue
below, it's
here,
like number of votes.
Because the number one person gets the initial chair and the number one vote getter. So,
So we know Val Ogden; she'll be a reasonable chair, won't she?
She would. We'll see how it ends up.
Well, they make
up
their own. They elect their own chair.
They do. Yeah, the opening meeting is opened by this person, but then they elect their own chair.
Yeah. So this could shuffle somewhat.
Cool.
That's cool. Okay.
Sounds good.
But, thank you, Kel.
See how many actually make it during session?
Yeah, seriously, man. No doubt. We're taking attendance at these things, man.
That's right.
So, and well, and then next week when we come back with the advisory votes, that's actually, that's a good heads up that that's the next thing on that we'll have to figure out is the, I forget what the resolution said. Did it say the, in December they get together? When is it that they when is their
30 days?
They have to meet within 30 days of certification of election, which will be on November 26th. And then in that first meeting, they have a series of things that they have to consider that were in the resolution, like budget, staffing, things that are going to affect the county. So that's all.
As long as you're going to be busy.
Well, and that's what we'll have to figure out is, like, what are their needs?
He's the man. I mean, what do you and Bill wish
on this than anybody else?
Last time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, no doubt. So we'll have to figure that out as well. You know, is okay, it'll, that means that they'll be meeting in December. So we need to make sure that we at least have the beginnings of the information that they will need. And then they're going to tell us what staff support they need. So then we'll have to just be responsive. Right. Cool. Did you have anything else, Mark?
No, sir.
Kelly?
I had one quick message to Axel.
Yeah.
On my way home the other day, I thought I saw something. So the road went like this, and the metal right here, and I pulled over there. There's one doe laying down, and a 2-point, and a spike buck.
You didn't even call me, dude? Come on. I had till October 31st.
I did. I opened the door, and I said, Stuart. Because he's out there and just looked at me.
Can I go back to something here, to this?
Go for it.
Kelly, related to this, this is an opportunity to set them up for success and to make sure we have everything in place for them to be able to be, when they start their first meeting, they're all set.
Yeah.
So I would think that we would already have a place where they can put their documents and their online, like a freeholder grid. Yeah, a freeholder grid. That's right. Just use the same template. Just copy it in there. And I would think at a minimum, you're already setting up so that the microphones that when we have a work session, all those microphones go to a PC that goes to their sound system. You set that up so that we should be able to just simply take the feed from that, plug it into one of these things, and get a good audio feed.
So we're a little different than that with the freeholders, and the reason is that we've already spoken with CVTV, and if the freeholders approve it, at least the idea is to actually do a recording, video and audio, for all of their
meetings.
That'd
be great.
Excellent.
And then that'll all be plugged into, like you say, kind of a grid on the web, so that people can access that whether they're on cable or not.
Is the first meeting actually going to be one of those deliberation meetings? Because if that be,
setting a chair.
Oh, well, then why don't we set them up with CVTV coverage at the very first meeting?
That's fine.
Make sure we got good sound. Good, they're great.
So yeah, cool. So making sure the technology is in place and set up kind of as the baseline, and that the information, I know you've been kind of putting together packets for them, so having information for them as well as the technology to support them so that they are set up for success.
Yeah, operating from the assumption that they need a baseline of understanding about county government and just, county, how counties are structured in Washington generally, and charter, county information, just kind of the basics.
Yeah, good. So if we can set them up with a freeholder grid, now you've got shelves at the very beginning. You start putting things where they belong. Yeah. Everything flows.
Yep.
Because this is the people's business done out there in public.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really good.
So
so we're going to give them a grid?
At the beginning of those meetings, are you going to...
Let's plan on it.
Kelly?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to give them an introduction, and in that introduction, share with them what was done in the past, so that maybe they don't have to start from square zero.
Actually,
and then let them run with from there. But they're going to have to also setting up a TV. They're going to. I'm not sure how flexible TV is, because before they would have different meetings around the county.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have one here, they'd have one at Dollar's Corner, they'd have one in Hawkinson, they'd have one there. And that's something that they set up.
Right.
But we have to suggest to them that they set up places where CVTV can set up.
Well, I would think that they are going to be a very self-sufficient group. And they'll be the ones to set their own guidelines and be able to establish it so that they can make requests if they want whatever help from Kelly or
probably
whoever.
Have legal staff available.
But yeah. Their locker's been identified.
But I would.
But it's all up to them, like Commissioner Mador said. They make the determination.
Yeah.
Do they have a staff?
But I would think that in times past we didn't have the CBTV. I don't. We never covered that, and so the availability for.
They did. They covered all the meetings during the last go round with the freeholders, and they're quite mobile, so it really is not that relevant where the location is as long as there's a power source.
They can do live TV from remote locations, or do
most times they just tape
it.
They would tape it and then run it.
Because in City Hall in this building, they can go live, right?
Well, sure.
They stream it.
Yeah.
But,
last time they didn't meet in this building because it didn't exist. So they were meeting at the CREDC, the Emergency Operations Center, part of this. Not CREDC, the
CRESA.
So I would think the first meeting at least would be here in one of these training rooms.
We can offer it.
Yeah, you might want to call Val Ogden and say, let her know it's available.
We don't know about it.
And we have in other words, to put the welcome mat out.
Of course.
And
Okay. Cool. That's excellent. What else you got, Kelly?
I want to distribute this so you can see.
Oh, you already got the amphitheater.
We had a little discussion about this, Mark and I, and Mark, actually. It's a really great year for the amphitheater. They don't usually do quite this well. And if you have an average over 10,000 attendees at their concerts, is frankly outstanding for the amphitheater.
Yeah,
so there's other information here showing the time the event ended, the time the parking lot emptied, and so in essence, how long it took for that to take, and on average about an hour and a half almost.
Yeah, once 10th Avenue's in place, empty time will be cut in half.
Great.
That's some big attendance at the event.
Yeah, a couple hit like 16,000.
Yeah, the last two hit 16.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, the 16.
That's close to their max.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it like 18 is what
maximum.
You get max? And that's what people, all the people sitting in on the lawn that you can fit.
Yeah. And my wife went to Zach Brown and she said it was, the grassy area was pretty packed as well.
Wow.
So good news going on there.
Yep. Hope they reproduce this year after year.
Couple things on the
But it is a good thing for us to. I mean, Mark, we were talking about it briefly. Is we should do more than just just get this on it. I mean, we haven't gotten an update from them in a while. Of like, what are they up to? How are they doing? They have the screen that they built. That screen as part of the deal when we restructured their payments. We said, hey, you need to put in a screen so you can have some indoor activities and so you can do things not just in the summer. How's that going? And how's the work with the fair going? We haven't checked in with them in years. It's been several years.
No, that's a great idea because John Morrison and Kit, we haven't seen Dan Braun in a good while.
He's
underground.
He's
with Metallica or something. But the teamwork between the amphitheater and the event center has really improved.
That's good.
And so we can, it'd be a feel-good session. Plus, do we want to talk about potentially renegotiating rent upwards if they're starting to become more successful?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. No. But it's good to, let's have that, let's bring them in. Don't reach for their wallet yet.
Congratulations.
You distract them. I'll go for the wallet.
Yeah. But I think it would be really good to get an update. We haven't checked in for a long time with these guys.
All right.
Okay. And we own the facility, so
So this is only June through September because that's the only
that's their season.
That's their season. Yeah.
Although I think with the curtain now, they can extend it into the winter.
The agreement that we have with them, conditional use permit.
Well, but they're allowed to do things in the winter and everything, but they haven't because it's an outdoor facility. But now they built that screen so that they can enclose it and actually have indoor concerts, smaller, but have indoor concerts.
Yeah,
It's completely up to them, though.
Is our window wide enough for them? Do they, if they did this well during the window, would it be helpful for us to widen the window?
That would be a...
We've been taking up spare time that they don't fill,
and it's a good use.
We've been working with them back and forth, combining things when we could. Then when they had open time that belonged to them and they didn't have it filled, in some cases we were able to use that.
So you're good with the window like it is?
Really good. They're working really well with sharing back and forth each other's window.
So long as, and they can have smaller events, in the winter outside of this window. But it would be a good question. Is the agreement that we have, because the agreement was set up because we didn't want the event center and the amphitheater competing for traffic space when you, with huge events, because you can't have two big events at both on the same day and make it work for traffic. So so it was kind of trying to figure out how can they work together on this. But with smaller events during the winter, indoor, and their thing, I mean, I don't know if the agreement is up to snuff to be able to allow it or not.
My recollection is that we schedule according to their events during essentially the summer season. Then they schedule, there's two schedule according to our event center events during the winter and the off season.
But initially, Dan Braun would say, you cannot have event of any type if we have a concert.
I remember. Yeah.
Now, just recently, we had a morning event. We had an afternoon event, and then they had an evening concert.
Yep.
No trouble whatsoever.
Yeah, it's all neat.
And in fairness to Dan, sometimes they don't book until 8 days ahead of time. And so it is a difficult issue for them to have those pre-reserved slots, and so they do try to accommodate.
They needed them. That's why they needed that window.
And we're very sensitive to when their load-in begins, and we try to be off the site or at least emptying our piece of it before they begin filling.
If we hurry up and get 10th done, then we wouldn't have to worry so much about traffic.
That's right.
Take half the people to the south.
You guys looking at this empty lot time here?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We'll cut that in half with 10th Avenue.
No, literally cut it in half.
And then I might start going to concerts.
I didn't even see that. So wait, so lot vacation here.
16,000 in 33 minutes.
16,000, no, in 2 hours.
You're
looking at empty lot time event and
what lot vacation period?
Oh, that's how long.
So that's the time.
That's
so it's
how long
12:30.
That's how long it takes.
0:33 is 12:30. So how long it took? The lot vacation period was an hour and 38 minutes.
Whoa, that's a long time.
So if you were the last car in line, you really want to get home in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2 hours.
It took a long time. Coming in is never a problem. Going out at the end of a concert is brutal.
And they might not want to experience that again.
Well, and that's the problem. That's
Jimmy Buffett was our first concert, and the lot empty time did scare off people.
We had 2 hours to get out of there.
And these are better times than initially. Their traffic management folks were not excellent.
Changed it. Yeah. Well, they've changed it.
And Mary had some problems.
Yeah, it's true. Cool. All right, Kelly, anything else?
Two items I want to give you an update on with the PFD. They're initiating their audit again at the PFD.
Okay.
It's a statement of activity or a statement of financial, an audit of financial statements audit, and it's also...
Could be accountability. They have to decide whether to do that.
Could be, right. So kind of like two audits going on at the same time. The other thing is to let you know that we have a resignation from the PFD board. Brett Wilkerson has submitted his resignation. He's been on that board, I think, since about 2002. So this
what's
a
PFD?
Long tenure. Public Facilities District.
That's what built the Hilton in the exhibition.
It's a separate municipal corporation. Strongly associated with the county because the board appoints people to it. Okay. Now, it's uniquely... characteristic about his position is that you don't have the ability to fill his vacancy. And the reason is that the RCW requires that the vacancy get filled in the same manner as it was originally created. And that was created by the other four appointing number five, and he was the number five. So I did check with Chris Horn on that, and it is going to be up to the PFD board to fill that number five slot.
Okay.
My recommendation...
Do they know that?
No. I haven't discussed it with them yet. My recommendation to them will be that they fill it with another person from the lodging industry. Not that they'll pull the trigger on this, but at least to maintain the ability if they wanted to impose any kind of a lodging tax, which is one of the authorities they potentially could have. So that's the update.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, I think they recommend the lodging tax, and it goes to the legislature.
It goes to the people for a vote.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have the two lodging taxes that the county controls, which are dedicated to paying down the debt in the event center. But they could add a third lodging tax if the people voted. But it can only go from the PFD board to the people.
And they know that's fragile because it has an impact on conventions. When people go shopping for places to have conventions, they look at that.
Especially right
lodging
across the river.
Tax. Yes.
No doubt.
Yeah, very competitive.
Cool. Nothing else? Mary?
Yes. Channel 6 came in yesterday and did a hatchet job on our new online payment system. Just
what?
So you know, yeah, they did two
on the online payment system.
Yes, they did two relatively innocuous interviews, one with Auditor Kimsey and one with Commissioner Medore.
Okay.
And then they took...
What did you do, David?
He did nothing. It's what they did.
They didn't talk to Doug Lasher?
That wasn't... mine wasn't a payment system. I mean, one was the open checkbook.
Yeah,
yeah, the vendor payment.
Oh, I thought you said online payments.
Didn't I say checkbook?
No, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just tired.
Got it.
For transparency initiative.
Okay, so on the online checkbook deal, they took... interviews with Auditor Kimsey and Commissioner Medore, and then they took old documents regarding some allegations of misuse of funds, and then they put them together, and they said that we were doing the online checkbook to combat fraud.
What?
Is there a link to that?
Yeah, I
asked for it. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, send us the link, will you please?
It's on the website right now. I don't know how long it's going to launch.
You mean on the KOIN web on the Channel 6 website?
Yeah, it is right now.
Okay. I hope it's not on our website. It's like, here,
it's on the grid.
Look at this hatchet job. Here you go.
What in the world is the agenda there?
Really? You want to know?
Yeah.
Well, I have a theory.
What's your theory?
As usual. I think we had a reporter who was under pressure from her bosses to get a story, and she did whatever she could to comply.
You can't come up with one, you got to make one up.
It was pretty creative.
More fiction.
I thought the Colombian article on it was pretty straightforward. You know, that actually saw that it just kind of identified what was being done, and you know, where people could go to get the information. That seemed okay. What was your take on that? That one was fine.
Yeah, it's great Eric's work right here.
Well, compared to Channel 6, apparently, yeah. Performance review. So, all right, cool.
So,
yeah, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, just letting you know.
Did you read the Colombian article online, or did you read from the newspaper?
I look at both.
Really different.
That was a trap. Trying to take away her newspaper, man.
Yeah, that's
right. We're going to.
I
we got it online.
Print edition. It's a different experience than the online.
Yeah, I know that fiction all the time.
Yeah, it makes your fingers black.
That's right. Cheap ink.
All right. Anything else, Mary?
No.
Mark, did you have anything else?
I know, sir. I'm done.
All right, cool. Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'll tell you about dear.